الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله All thanks and all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty Creator, Maker, Sustainer of the Universe. We send darud and salam upon the final messenger of Allah, Sayyidina wa Nabiyina wa Mawlana Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us in many ways. One of the greatest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to have granted us the guidance and the leadership of Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it clear to us that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the highest, the noblest, the most eminent, the most distinguished personality in the entire human being, in other words, person, in other words, personage, in other words, in entire creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين صدق الله العظيم. Muhammad is not the father of any of the men among you, but he is the messenger of Allah and he is the final, the seal of all the prophets. Surah Ahzab, that is the surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 40. It is with this ayat that I commenced my talk on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Khatamun Nabiyyin, as the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we discussed on that evening the finality of prophethood and what it means not only to the Muslimin but to entire mankind, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the final one to come in the line of prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what it means. And from this ayat of Surah Ahzab, Surah number 33, ayat number 40, wa khatamun nabiyyin, emphasis is there on two things, walakin, but most certainly, Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his name is mentioned here, ma kana Muhammad. That this messenger of the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is who? Most certainly Rasulullah, he is my messenger, he is the messenger of Allah, wa khatam al-nabiyyin, and he is most certainly the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This emphasizes, the emphasis is on two words, Rasul and Khatam. Many were the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith mentions that there were 124,000 messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says some of them Allah has taken their names in the Quran Majid, but many among them Allah has not even stated and mentioned in the Quran Majid, which means that there are thousands of messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that have not even been mentioned in the Quran Majid. Otherwise, can you imagine how many volumes the Quran would have encompassed? Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not mentioned all of them by name. But what we do know is that the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is also the greatest messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is also the leader and the chief of all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is there a distinction in being the final messenger of Allah, that is what we are discussing. And in various aspects which we have already done for almost an hour, we looked at some of the aspects which stand out from the ahadith, from Quran and ahadith in particular, which shows him to be the most outstanding in the creations of all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most outstanding in the entire creation of this and of the worlds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is his distinction, and in this we continue from where I left off on Monday by speaking on some of the outstanding aspects, the most brilliant, the most excellent aspects of his life. We were saying towards the end that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is such an outstanding messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that his finality means as follows. When Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wassalam descends on the Jum'ah Masjid, Minaret of the Jum'ah Masjid of Damascus, on the wings of angels, they will put him there. He will then come down from the Minaret and walk into the Masjid, like we normally do. He will walk into the Masjid. At that time, the Mahdi will be preparing to lead the Salah. He will already be on the Musalla, about to make imamat, to commence with the imamat. People will already be in their safs when they hear a sound from the back. As they hear the sound, they turn to look at the back, and the Mahdi looks at the back and immediately recognizes by looking at the person that this is Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wassalam that has come. He will take a step backwards. The safs will open up when the musallis see him, and he will come into the first saf where they will make a gap for him. He will come into the first saf. Who? Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. And the Mahdi will indicate to him that he must come on the musalla. I mean, who is the Mahdi? He's not a Nabi, he's not a Rasul. But Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, who is being expected, he will be expected. Muslimin, all of us are aware. Similarly, there in Damascus, in Syria, people will be aware that he is going to come at any time. The signs would have forecast he's coming. So the Imam Mahdi will indicate, come to the front, make the imamat. And on that stage, Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wassalam will refuse, for he will say, I'm a muttabi', I am one who is a follower of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Therefore, Mahdi, you lead the salah, you make the imamat, I will follow you. And that is what will happen. Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wassalam will be standing in the first saf, and Mahdi will proceed, and the takbir will be made like we normally do, and then he will make the imamat of the salah. What we are saying here is, can we then appreciate and understand the daraja, meaning the status of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that if during the period as Khatamun Nabiyyin any prophet were to appear, they would become his followers. Muttaba'een, muttaba' means they would become one who makes ittiba, who follows Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a risalat. And that is what will happen there. So that is the example which I indicated. Now let's proceed from there onwards. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the reason for the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَوْلَا مُحَمَّدٌ مَا خَلَقْتُ آدَمَ وَلَا الْجَنَّةِ وَلَا النَّارِ. In a hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this is what we call hadith Qudsi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to him, has inspired him. Allah says that if there was no Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah would not have created Adam, nor would Allah have made Jannah or Jahannam. This hadith is in the Mustadrak of Hakim. The meaning of this hadith should be carefully understood. And in here, what has to be emphasized is the status, the eminence of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is what is being shown here, is what is the daraja, the status of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that here is my Khatamun Nabiyin, the most afzal of my Ambiyas and Rasuls, and all this I have created out of compassion for him, love for him, and this is why the rest have been created. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thus plays a major role, and this needs to be appreciated by us, that as the final messenger, Khatamun Nabiyyin, the divine revelations that have been received by no prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for centuries have to also come to an end, and so also the finalization and perfection of the beliefs and the teaching and the practices of the true deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only is he Khatamun Nabiyyin, but Islam is Khatamun Deen. In other words, no more new religions, no more new faiths, no more new beliefs. No religion is going to come after the coming of Khatamun Nabiyyin alayhi salatu wassalam. So deen has ended. Similarly, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which word? The revealed word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also Khatam. In other words, has also been concluded. No book of divine revelation will follow the Quran Majid. Thirdly, no sunnah, no new teachings of any prophet is going to follow the sunnah and the sharia of the deen of Islam. That also khatam. So khatam al-nabiyyin must be understood in the context. Not only is he the final messenger of Allah, but the entire teachings has come to an end. With that, perfection of the ibadah, your salah, your sawm, your hajj baytullah, your zakat, the kalima, all that, the aqaid, the beliefs of the Muslim, the a'mal of the Muslims, all has been terminated, perfected, completed, absolutely. No, nothing new as far as faith, belief, religion and practice is concerned, and the book of Allah is concerned, will ever appear until Yawmul Qiyamah. All this ummah has to wait for. And hereby also do understand, it also means that this is the ummah Muhammadiyya. Allah Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wassalam is the final ummah. No new ummah is going to come. There's not going to be any other ummah following the ummah of Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadur Rasulullah. It is in this context that the word Khatamun Nabiyyin must be understood. So we also have to understand these remaining teachings. In the Quran Majid we are informed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a holy vow, a holy covenant from the entire human creation to recognize, to believe and to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one Khaliq, as one creator, as one Rabb and sustainer, and all of mankind present there accepted it. The souls of entire humankind were gathered from the back of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu, the breast of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, all the children of Adam, meaning the arwah, in a kingdom, or in a dimension, at the creation of time, early in the, at the time of creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drew from Nabi Adam alayhi salam the souls of all the children of Adam alayhi salam, meaning from the first to the last, all were drawn and assembled and gathered. And in that particular gathering, all were asked to testify and bear witness that there is only one Allah and that Allah is the provider and the sustainer. So that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which says in the Quran, it is stated, because I've done this, I'm not going to spend too much time earlier. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ زُهُورِهِمْ زُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدُهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا أَن تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ نَا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when thy Rabb drew forth from the children of Adam, from their loins, their descendants, and made them testify concerning themselves, saying, am I not your Rabb? The one who sustains and cherishes you. They all replied, most certainly, definitely, yes, O Allah. We do testify to it to be the absolute truth that you are our one Rabb. We do testify to it lest you, our Rabb, should say to us on the day of Qiyamah, on the day of judgment, of this truth we were never mindful. Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 172. It is recorded in the Ahadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the first soul at the moment to proclaim Bala. Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first one in the entire gathering among all the souls of entire humanity, the first person to say, Qalu Bala, most certainly, O Allah, you are our one creator, you are our provider, you are our sustainer, we recognize you, we will worship only you, we testify to this. The first person to say, Qalu Bala, to say Bala, to say most certainly, yaqeen, with almost certainty was who? Sayyidina wa Nabina, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this led the rest of the Anbiya's and the rest of the souls to follow him in the acceptance of this covenant, which established this unique acceptance into the natural grain and into the genetic fiber, into the genes of each and every human being born into this world. So therefore, on the day of Qiyamah, you may ask, how is it possible entire humanity will be gathered for questioning? How can that be possible? There were many kuffar and mushrikeen that never heard of Islam, that never knew about Islam, but that is wrong. It is not so. At the beginning of time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ingrained into the genes of every human being the natural inclination in the fitrah of every human soul, the inclination to recognize and to accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the one maker, creator and sustainer. Look, I have said this so many times. What is the intellect? What is the intelligence that Allah has granted to mankind? How does it operate? It tells us time and again. When we look up into the heavens, there must be a creator. Everything that has, when man sees a car, tractor, truck, anything that has been built, or a building, man immediately knows it has been made, manufactured. Some way it has been made. Nothing appears without being made, without being manufactured. So everything is made. How do we exist? Where do we come from? You look at a little child, look at the fetus. There's nothing there, it's just a lump of flesh. How is it that that flesh forms and eventually becomes a child, and the child eventually becomes a young person, a young boy or girl, and eventually that person becomes a man or a woman? How is this growth stages? Then when the child is born, have you looked and seen the slits for eyes, for nose, for ears? Who is making this? You do not see any human hand? Do we expect that this is just an automatic job? No, there must be someone that is making it. What is our... Allah has endowed us with an intelligence. Eventually understanding, we learn to read and write, we learn to appreciate, understand, we hear, we see, we feel, we touch, we smell, we taste. How are these things? Do they come about? When you look at anything that man has made, immediately tells you, look at the masjid, you say, well, there were human beings that came and made this masjid. That is understandable. But don't we understand, where did this human being come from? Nowhere? Automatic? Cannot be. So similarly, in the fitrah, ingrained in the genes of every human being. And remember, this genes thing has only been discovered now recently, that every human being has this genetic formation. In they have also discovered within the genetic formation of each and every human being there's a natural inclination to worship, to pray. So in this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has endowed each and every human being with a natural inclination to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and recognition then thereafter, his intelligence, her intelligence leads her to acceptance. First comes the recognition and then comes the acceptance. That is why you reach a stage of maturity, bulughat. Islam only becomes binding upon you at the age of 7, because that is the age at which we begin to understand, to comprehend. That is when Islam becomes farz upon. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question. There will be a reckoning. Everybody will have to account for their deeds and their actions. On that day, we hear the tumultuousness of the kuffar and mushrikeen who will be wanting to say, we never heard of Islam, we never heard of Islam. We didn't know of Muhammadur Rasulullah SAW. We don't know about you, O Allah. You think it will work on that day? No ways. It's not going to work. Common sense should have prevailed. We're not even talking about intelligence. We're talking about common sense. Common sense should have led them to recognize that they have a maker, that they have a creator, and to the worship of that one maker and creator. So, this is what we are dealing with here. That is the issue that we are dealing with in this particular. We learn also from the following hadith, كان محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أول من قال بلى ولذلك صار يتقدم الأنبياء وهو آخر من بعث. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, in this hadith which is stated in the Khasais al-Kubra, the Kitab of Hadith, Nabi Karim صلى الله عليه وسلم here says that he was the first to say bala. You are most certainly our Rabb and our sustainer, no doubt about it. He was then followed by the rest of the prophets and mankind, the rest of mankind in general. He came as the last and the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ خَاتِمٌ وَهُوَ آخِرٌ مِّمَّنْ بَعَثَ. He came as the last, he was the last messenger of Allah that was sent. Again we understand as خَاتِمٌ النَّبِيِّينَ that his teachings overshadow those of every previous messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is complete and he has left us with a inheritance, spiritual inheritance, whereby we have the complete and the perfected message of divine revelation. We know hadith is also by divine inspiration. So in this we need as Muslims to understand the hadith positions him as Sayyidul Anbiya and Khatamul Nabiyyin without a doubt, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On the day of resurrection, the prophets shall be the first to awaken and arise from their graves. Now we're talking about the resurrection. That there is a stage which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the plan of Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that one day when Qiyamah comes, all of mankind, not this is before Qiyamah, that there will be a day when all will be set, when everything, Qiyamah comes, yes, when Qiyamah comes, the trumpet will blow and all of mankind will die. To the last person, all are going to die. And then eventually when the trumpet blows for the second time, all will be resurrected. We call that the resurrection. Now on the day of resurrection, all the Anbiya's and Rasuls will be the first to stand up and to arise. But from them, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be the first person, the first Rasul to arise from his grave. Before the day of Qiyamah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be the first one to be resurrected and brought to life among all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states as follows. He says, Ana awwalu man tatshaqqu anhu al-ard. I shall be the first one of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be revived when my grave is the first one to be opened. Hadith is in Musnad of Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi, as narrated by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. In this hadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes it perfectly clear that the first people to arise on that day will be the Anbiya's and the Rasuls of Allah, because they were the leaders in mankind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their darja is higher than that of any of the awliya Allah. And consequently they will be the first to rise. But among them, Sayyidina wa Nabiina, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, grave will be the first one to be opened up, and he will be the first one to shake off the dust from his clothes, to stand up from his grave, and the malaikas will be there to lead him to the field of mahshar, the field of gathering for the day of reckoning. He will be the first one to go there. So, أَنَا أَوَّلُ مَنْ تَنْشَقَّ أَنْهُ الْأَرْضِ, I will be the first one whose grave will be opened on that particular day. This is the meaning of خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ. This is the darja, the status, the eminence of Sayyidina Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On that fateful and awful day of Qiyamah, when the whole of mankind that ever appeared in the world are to be resurrected and revived, to be assembled on the field of gathering, which we call the mahshar, for judgment, to commence. It is significant and noteworthy of the high esteem, rank and lofty status of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he shall be the first one to awaken and rise from his precious grave. So this is also part of the understanding which we need to know. Furthermore, on the day of Qiyamah, when the whole of mankind shall be in absolute awe and amazement and in a state of shock and bewilderment, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shall be called upon to occupy the Maqam-e Mahmood platform or stage to praise and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thence to intercede on behalf of entire humanity for clemency and compassion for all of mankind. This is a special place, the Maqam-e Mahmood, reserved for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which is stated as follows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Asa an yaba'asuka rabbuka maqaman mahmuda, soon will your sustainer raise you to a station of praise and glory. This is in Surah Isra, 17th Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 79. This means, as stated in the Quran, that this event will occur on the day of Qiyamah, when Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be positioned on the Maqam-e Mahmood for intercession. Jibreel alayhi salam, as he has always led Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will come and he will take the shoulder, hold Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by shoulders, and he will then take Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lead him up to the Maqam-e Mahmood, a special platform or stage that has been set up where the whole of humanity, you know, when we talk of whole of humanity gathered on the field of mahshar on the day of reckoning, whole of humanity from Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, all the Anbiyas and Rasuls, all of mankind, every person, human being of every generation, every civilization, from Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam to the last person to live on this earth, all will be gathered there. It is unimaginable. We cannot fathom or understand. The human mind cannot understand how all these human beings will be gathered there. Also mentioned in the hadith is the whole of the jinn world. The jinns are many times more than what the human world is. All will be gathered and assembled on the day of mahshar. So we cannot comprehend and understand how many millions and billions and trillions of people will be gathered there. All will be there on that day. And amongst them, Sayyidina wa Nabiyina, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be seen by all, and he will be taken onto this platform where he will stand, and Asa an yab'asuka rabbuka maqaman mahmuda, where he will be taken soon, says Allah. Soon, look at the word Asa. Very soon, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Park. Soon will your sustainer raise you to a platform or a stage where you will praise and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Isra, 17th Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 79. This means that this event will occur on the day of Qiyamah, when Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be positioned on the Maqam-e Mahmood to intercede, to make intercession on behalf of humanity. The hadith states further, فيكون أول من يدعى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I shall be the first to be called upon on the day of Qiyamah to go on to the Maqam-e Mahmood. This hadith is in Musnad Bazzar and in the kitab of hadith kitab of Imam Bahqi, as narrated by Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This significant and enormous event also speaks highly of the remarkable status and dignity of Khatamun Nabiyyin, Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina, Sayyidul Mursaleen, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us therefore as Muslimin understand the status of Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he stands in our estimation, what is his right and where, you know, what is his station and his right as the messenger of Allah, final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a remarkable degree and status that he holds. Now let's continue further to understand what it means to be Sayyidul Mursaleen and Khatamun Nabiyyin. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will also be the first person in entire creation to perform sijda, prostration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. He will precede all the prophets and all of humanity in being the first one to be chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make sujood, to make sijda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day when all of mankind will be totally transfixed. Nobody's head is going to work on that day. Every human being will become non-functional at the shocking events that will occur on the day of Qiyamah. And on that day, among all the Anbiya's and Rasul's and Awliya's, Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be the first one to step forward and make sijda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states in a hadith as follows. He says, Ana awwalu man yu'zanu lahu bis-sujudi yawm al-qiyamah. I shall be the first person on the day of Qiyamah, on the day of judgment, to be granted permission by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perform sijda, to perform prostration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This hadith I have taken from the Musnad of Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi, as narrated by Hazrat Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Here again we find the unique status and elevated rank of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that he shall be the first in the whole of creation, even of the honorable messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be chosen for this honor and this distinction of prostrating to one Allah before everybody else, and thus being the first of all in mankind to submit, to praise and to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the presence of all the prophets and the whole of humanity. Everyone born into this earth will see this. What greater honor can there be than this? This act of faith and accomplishment establishes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the most blessed, the most noble and the most distinguished person in the entire creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this reflects his true standing and his true position. My hope, my prayer, my dua is that we Muslimin must recognize the worth and the value that we are of the ummah of Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallam. Great Anbiya's before us, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu was salam, Nabi Isa alayhi salatu was salam, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, and many of the Anbiya's who preceded him used to make dua, Ya Allah, let us be of the ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can we understand what it means? And then for us on that day of Qiyamah, not to be granted the salvation, the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, we know it's going to happen at the Hawza Kawthar. Many Muslimin will be gathered, and at that time they will be told. Wahi will come. In other words, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. Take these people away. Remove them from the fountain of Kawthar. Take them away from here. do not allow them to drink of the waters of Kausar. You know what the waters of Kausar is for? On that day, the sun will be just above the heads, not too far away, above the heads of mankind. At the moment, you know where is the sun? How far away? Many millions of miles and kilometers away from us. Yet when the sun is hot, when it reaches 40, 50 degrees, we almost are suffocating. We cannot hold it. On the day of Qiyamah, it will be right above our heads. Can you imagine how people will be sweating? The hadith describes that there will be people who will be up to their necks in sweat, drowned in sweat on that particular day. That will be the position of mankind. So I am saying to you that the shocking state of mankind on that day, and on that particular day, it is the waters of the Hawza Kawthar, where people after the Ba'ath, the resurrection, when they are taken out of the graves, first they will go to the Hawza Kawthar. That will be the meeting. And who will go to the Hawza Kawthar? Only the Muslimin, Muttaqeen, Mu'mineen, Salihin will go there. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his own hands will give to them the waters from the fountain of Kawthar to drink. Once they have drunk that water, then this sweat will not take place. They will not be sweating. They will not feel the sweat. That is the reason for drinking from the waters of Kawthar. Then there will be Muslims, a large number of Muslims that will come there, a whole group of Muslims that will come there. Remember, we are not talking here of a few. We are talking of all the Muslims that will be gathered there. Many millions, billions maybe, that will be gathered there. Amongst them, the command of Allah will come to the malaikas who will be serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take these people away and remove them. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say at that time, why are they, oh Allah, why are these people, they are my ummah. They are my ummah. They came to drink waters of the Hawza Kawthar. Why are you, oh Allah, saying that they must be removed from here? Why are you taking my ummah away from me? And he will be crying and weeping for his ummah. That my ummati, ummati. At that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal to him, Allah will tell him that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are not aware of what these people did after you. What they indulge in, the kind of habits they indulge in after you. And you know what those habits are? Our commentators of the ahadith have written here, they will be the ahl bidah. The people who indulged in innovations, they came out with all kinds of things that were not in accordance with the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They innovated new things, all kinds of performances, all kinds of festivities, all kinds of gatherings and entertainments in your name. They did all these things saying they did it for you. Like we have many of the Maulud celebrations, like we have many other things that we have, that was never done. No Sahabas ever gathered to uphold and sing the salutations of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The salute salawat was always something that was between the person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You never gather in a gathering and have music, or even without music, and you sing the praises of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You find no time to sing the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you want to sing the praises of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and so forth and so on. There are many other innovations that people have made. These are the people who on that day will be denied to drink the waters from the Hawza Kawthar. So this is what we must remember and be careful of. So on the day of Qiyamah, we need to remember these particular things. On the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, when all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still be in sajda prostration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be the first person to be permitted by the order and the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise his head from sajda, and informed, he will be informed as follows. So the first person to make sajda will be the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after that, when he is in sajda, the first person who will be told, you can lift your head, you can raise your head from sajda now, because he will remain in that position, will be as follows. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, أَنَا أَوَّلُ مَنْ يَرْفَعَ رَأْسُهُ فَانْزُرْ إِلَىٰ بَيْنِ يَدَيَّ فيقال يا محمد ارفع رأسك سلطعت واشفع تشفع أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. On the day of Qiyamah, I will be the first person to be granted permission to raise my head from sujda. And I will be instructed to look ahead. I shall be told, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, raise your head, ask and you shall be granted, intercede and your intercession shall be accepted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, seek intercession, I will grant you intercession. Whatever you ask for, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I shall grant it to you, after he has raised his head from sujda. The words are that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith, Sal ta'attu washfa tashaffa, and I will grant you. Ask, seek, and you will be granted. Intercede, and you will be granted intercession. Now imagine on that day, he will intercede, and there will be those who will not receive of his intercession. What will be their fate? Where do they stand in this entire? This hadith is from Musnad Ahmad. In a most beautiful way, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains his major and most eminent role on that fateful last day of judgment and reckoning. How pertinent it is, therefore, for his ummah to submit willingly to the Quran and the Sunnah and the Sharia, and to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that on the day of divine decision, they can be the recipients of the intercession of Khatamun Nabiyyin, Sayyidul Mursaleen, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such is the lofty and dignified placement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and such is the position of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they will be in the front line of receiving the intercession and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At this point, let it also be known that among those who considered themselves to be of the Ummah of Muslimin will be those who shall be disbanded and separated from the Ummah on that awful day of reckoning. These shall be described to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through revelation to be those who turned away from the obedience to the Sunnah and Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by indulging in ways, in habits, in customs, in traditions that are opposed and contradictory to his way and to his Sunnah. This relates to the practice of bid'ah, which are innovations that corrupt the Sunnah way. The next point I wish to make in the standing and position and status of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the following. On the day of Qiyamah, when every Nabi and Rasul shall be granted permission to plead on behalf of their people, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be the first to be granted divine permission and the right of intercession. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ana awwalu shafi' wa awwalu mushaffa'." In the hadith which is contained in Abu Naim. This is a distinction and rare privilege for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be vested with, and the honor of being the first among the thousands of messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the first one among these blessed confidants and recipients of wahi, of divine revelation, and exemplary leaders of nations, to be the first one to be honored with the right of intercession, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next point I wish to make furthermore and emphasize is, on the day of Qiyamah, the right of intercession, do understand, I keep saying day of Qiyamah, what we must understand, this life of the dunya is temporary. The life of the akhirah is permanent. The life of akhirah will commence with death. Then we go into the grave. We live much longer in the qabr than what we live in this dunya. Then the resurrection will take place in the grave. And when the resurrection takes place, we will all be gathered for the day of reckoning. After reckoning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge who goes to Jannah and who goes to Jahannam. There we are going to live forever. So the life after death is a life of eternity, continuity. It is a permanent life. Therefore, in the Quran Majid, more than 2/3 of the Quran Majid speaks of the life which is to come, of the Akhirah, not about this life here in the dunya. So it is important that we appreciate and understand this particular factor, that the life which is to come is more important, and that life commences with Yawmul Qiyamah. So here, this is the reason why we need to understand our standing in there. On the day of Qiyamah, the right of intercession will be granted to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to plead and to intercede on behalf of the Prophet, on behalf of their own people. And this is called Shifa al-Sughra, minor intercession. But the right of intercession for entire mankind will be granted to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alone. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam holds this unique and illustrious position due to the following account. Mankind will go to each of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen to this account. I've taken it from the hadith. Mankind on that day will be in such a shock. They will be in such a state that they will move from one Nabi to another, from one Rasul to another, beseeching them to intercede on their behalf to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for mercy and for forgiveness. Mankind will be in a terrible state, knowing that Jannah, paradise, is only for the true believers and the obedient servants, and the rest shall go into hellfire. They will accept and admit on that awful and final day of reckoning that the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were the genuine prophets who brought them true guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they will move to each one of them to plead on their behalf. Each one of the Nabis and Rasuls, each one of them shall refer them to Khatamun Nabiyyin, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with these, the words of the hadith. This is what the hadith says. Izhabu ila Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Ambiyas will say, Izhabu ila Muhammad. فَيَعْتُونَا فَيَقُولُنَا يَا مُحَمَّدْ أَنْتَ رَسُولُ اللَّهُ خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ غُفِرَ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ زَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ فَاشْفَعْ لَنَا إِلَى رَبِّكَ أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Each Nabi and Rasul from the time of Nabi Adam alayhi salam will say to the people that will be flocking to them, go to the Messenger of Allah, go to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, plead with him and ask him, and when you find him, request, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you are the final Messenger of Allah, you are the Khatamun Nabiyyin, and Allah has forgiven you for everything of the past and the present. Please, we beseech you with your noble and dignified status to beseech for our forgiveness and salvation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mankind would have moved from prophet to prophet until they came to Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. I'm translating a hadith. Until they come to Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, who would be the final one to tell them, go to Khatimun Nabiyyin. O people, go to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Go to him and plead for mercy and forgiveness. Ask him to plead for mercy and forgiveness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on your behalf. Each Nabi and Rasul will explain to them that they have some matter for which they are unable to intercede on behalf of all of mankind. But Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has received complete mercy and forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, whilst they have fear for themselves to plead for such major intercession, they should go to Khatamun Nabiyyin, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for such major intercession on behalf of them all. This is known as Shafa'at Kubra. This fact establishes the immense nobility, honor and dignity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. needs to understand and appreciate the loyalty and outstanding status of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how closely we should obey and follow the Khatib al-Nabiyyin, Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is also Sayyidul Mursaleen. Therefore, as the Imam of all the Anbiya's and Rasul, they will all refer them, the people that are coming, begging them to beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to intercede on their behalves. They will go. On that day, all of mankind will recognize the position, lofty position of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why they will be going to each Nabi and Rasul, and each one will tell them, go to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they reach and arrive at Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, he will tell them, there is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Go to him. He is the one, the only one. I can't do anything for you. He is the only one who can. So they will then eventually go to him. And Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wa salam gives them the words with which they must plead and ask him to intercede on their behalf. That is how it will happen. I am saying to my Muslim brothers and sisters, do you understand the position of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how we should be linked to him, and how closely we should follow him and believe in him, and how we should follow the sunnah, blessed sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On that day we will all see what a lofty position he occupies. Furthermore, on the day of Qiyamah, all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the rest of mankind, shall be in a state of absolute shock and bewilderment on the mahshar, the ground or the area where all of mankind and jinnkind will be gathered for the final day of reckoning. The consternation and abject fear shall be registered on every face, and each one will be occupied with the thought of their own fate, with their own futures. Believers and non-believers will be in a state of turmoil, of mental turmoil, and nobody will know which way to turn. There will be no place to run. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith tells us that the field of mahshar will be rolled out like bread. There will be no drops and no rises, no hills, no mountains to hide behind. There will be no dips at all in which one can go, no holes in the ground where we can go. It will be flattened out, completely flat, like rolled out bread, and there will be no way to go and no place to hide. People will be trying to hide behind one another. The malaikas will not permit that. The angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be in charge. There will be no place to hide on that particular day. Mankind will be in total bewilderment, aghast, and in absolute shock. The skies will come tearing apart in front of the eyes of people, and the skies will disappear in front of their eyes. The angels of the heavens will be arrayed in ranks around mankind to serve every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On that fateful day, the earth will be torn to shreds. The mountains will be turned into dust, churned into puffs of dust. That is what will happen in front of the eyes of people. And as mankind looks, the shock they register will be absolute. That is the qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear will be of massive proportions, and the condition of mankind has been aptly described in the Quran Majid, in many, many ayat of the Quran Majid, in entire surahs of the Quran Majid, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this state of confusion and absolute fear and consternation, mankind in absolute and total panic will be looking and searching for a way out of their predicament and their dilemma. The majority in mankind had dismissed these revelations as myths and as legends. But on this final day of Qiyamah, all are in a state of shock and are running helter-skelter for protection and salvation. This shocking scene continues as everything known to man is totally destroyed in such a way that men want to tear out their hearts and pull out their brains. There is tragedy and demolition everywhere. Monumental structures are simply turned into dust in front of their eyes, in front of the eyes of people. The earth and heavens are torn apart into shreds. Only the ground that they are gathered on remains intact. In this state of chaos and bewilderment, people turn to the prophets, the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for consolation and seeking salvation. Everyone they go to states in fear, Lastu laha, lastu laha. Every Nabi and Rasul says, Lastu laha, lastu. I'm not able to intercede on your behalf. We are not able to intercede on your behalf. We can't intercede on your behalf. The hadith tells us the words they will use, Lastu laha, lastu laha. Over and over again say, don't come to us, we can do nothing. We can't help you today. I am not able to intercede on your behalf. I have this, I have done this, I have done that. I cannot intercede on your behalf. Go to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallam, go to the Khatamun Nabiyyin. All of them will refuse. I'm not able to intercede on your behalf. They say repeatedly. Then eventually they find that only one among them is entitled to major intercession, Shafa'at-e Kubra, and that is Khatamun Nabiyyin, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They find him as they are directed to him by Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, and they plead with him for intercession. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states according to the hadith, Ana laha, Ana laha, I am capable of I'm in a position to plead and intercede on your behalf by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ana laha, ana laha. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proceeds to the Maqam-e Mahmood to intercede on behalf of all of mankind on this frightening and awesome final day of reckoning. How beautifully the elevated status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is presented here in this hadith, in this remarkable account of the Shafa'at-e Kubra, major intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the only one from among all the Anbiya's and Rasuls and Prophets to be bestowed with this honor, which is a great one indeed. Do we now understand the standing of Khatamun Nabiyyin and Sayyidul Mursaleen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Let's proceed further. On the day of Qiyamah, out of all the Anbiya's and Rasuls, the Prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be the first one to cross the Pul Sirat, the bridge that spans over Jahannam, which every human being will have to cross to enter Jannah. Those who are destined to hell will fall off this bridge and drop into the burning and raging fires of Jahannam, of hell. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states as follows, يَضَرِبُ جَسْرَ جَهَنَّمَ فَأَكُونُ أَوَّلَ مَنْ يُجِيز أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the bridge spanning over hell, running, the bridge that runs over Jahannam will be before me, and I will be the first one to cross over this bridge. This hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, as narrated by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, a very important hadith. Every human being, believer, non-believer, doesn't matter who, will have to cross this bridge in order to go to Jannah. Nobody can go to Jannah. Every human being will want to go to Jannah. And as they climb up, as they go up, remember also, we make qurbani. One of the great features of qurbani is that all the animals we have slaughtered and made qurbani will be there on the day in front of the bridge. And as you come there, they will come to make it possible for you to ride over them or to accompany them over the bridge. That is why the qurbani is so important. But anyway, and the sadqa that we give is so important. So, on that particular day, as people go towards this bridge, as they go to climb over the bridge, some will stumble, some will fall, some will take a short time, some will cross over like lightning, they will go from the one end to the other end, and from there the malaikas will lead them into the doorways of Jannah. Others will take a long time, hours, days, weeks, months, it will take some to cross over the bridge. A lot of people, all the kuffar, all the mushrikeen, all the munafiqeen will fall off the bridge. Where will they fall into? Into the burning, raging fires of Jahannam they will fall into. And the Muslimin, mu'mineen, sadiqeen, salihin, all of them will cross over conveniently, and the malaikas will come there, ahlan wa sahlan, and lead them into the doorways of Jannah. Some they will even say, which of the gateways do you wish to go into Jannah? They will be given, all the gates will be open, and they will be taken into Jannah and made comfortable there to enjoy the delights of Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that all of us also be among those who enter Jannah. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first human being to cross this bridge and to go over it like swiftly, will be Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will be the first to cross over. Here's the hadith, يَذَرِبُ جَسْرَ جَهَنَّمَ فَأَكُونُ أَوَّلَا مَنْ يُجِيز. I will be the first one to cross over this bridge. Hadith from Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, as narrated by that eminent narrator, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. This is another deserving honor upon Sayyidina Rasulullah sallam, to the first one to successfully cross the bridge that everyone among the Anbiya's and Rasuls and all others among mankind, believers and non-believers, will have to go over to know their final fate. This crossing will not be an easy one. For obedient true believers who have lived a faithful and sincere life on earth of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have shown obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sunnah and way of life, who have saved themselves from hypocrisy, from nifaq, from sin, from rebellion, and from evil, the crossing will be swift. For others, it will take much longer as they struggle with their weight, the weight of their wrongdoings. And for some, like the disbelievers, it will take a long time. And then many will simply fall off into the heat of the burning fires below. This may sound like stories now, but beware of making a mockery of the sayings of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have not the foggiest notion of the hereafter, except from what is in the Quran and the hadith of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Furthermore, to understand Khatim al-Nabiyyin and the elevated status of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I'm speaking on in this month of Rabiul Awwal, on the day of Qiyamah, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be the first among all the Anbiya's and Rasuls, and also among the whole of humanity, to receive permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to knock on the door of Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, أَنَا أَوَّلُ مَنْ يَقْرَعُ بَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. I shall be the first one, the first person to be granted permission to knock on the door of Jannah. This hadith is in Abu Naim, as narrated by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. This major duty is only granted to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it informs us of his unique and elevated status among the Anbiya's and Rasuls, as well as in the whole of humanity. It does not belong to the dignity, it does not belong to the mighty and the rich rulers and monarchs of this world, or to the tyrants and the demagogues of this world, or to the triumphant and famous people of the world, but it belongs to Khatamun Nabiyyin, Sayyidul Mursaleen, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will be the first one to knock on the doors of Jannah. Who is there? And he will say, I am Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the door will be opened for him. Out of whole of the creations, human creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be the first one who will be granted permission. Look how in detail Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains to us his ummah, his position, his eminent status as Khatam al-Nabiyyin and Sayyidul Mursaleen. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam furthermore will be the first person in entire creation to whom Jannah will be opened. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَنَا أَوَّلُ تُفْتَهُ لَهُ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. I will be the first person for whom the door of Jannah will be opened. One is the knocking, seeking permission. You don't go into a house immediately. You don't open the door and just walk in. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will be the first one to be given permission to knock on the door of Jannah, and then it will be opened for him. He will be the first person to be admitted to be granted entrance into Jannah. These are two different things. One to knock on the door, the other to receive permission to go into Jannah. So he says, I will be the first one to enter Jannah. And I state this, look how, what does Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَنَا أَوَّلُ مَنْ يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا فَخَرْ. I say this, Allahu Akbar. أَنَا أَوَّلُ تُفْتَهُ لَهُ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. I will be the first person for whom the door of Jannah will be open. This hadith is in Abu Naim and in Abu Asakir from Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala. The next point was this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa will be the first person in the entire creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be granted permission to enter the eternal abode of Jannah, which has been designed and built by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Its beauty, its splendor, the provisions and delights of Jannah, we can only imagine, but we can never understand and fathom. No eye has seen, no ear has ever heard, and no mind can even assume and imagine. That is Jannah. And the first to enter Jannah will be Sayyidina wa Nabiyina, Khatimul Mursaleen, Khatimul Nabiyin, Sayyidul Mursaleen, Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What an honor. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَنَا أَوَّلُ مَنْ يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا فَخَرْ. I will be the first person to enter Jannah, and I state this with humility. I say this with complete humility, says Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What the status. Abu Naim, this hadith is in Abu Naim and in the compilation of Imam Bahri Ramtullah alayhi, as narrated by Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala. Here again we see the noble status and dignity bestowed upon Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the first occupant of Jannah. And obviously, the one to have every favor, blessing, reward, and delight offered there to its inhabitants, which are of incomprehensible design. No human being can ever imagine what is inside that Jannah. And our Nabi and Rasul, Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be granted permission to enter, and then he will be the first to enter it and see it also. Let's proceed a little further in our remaining minutes. The other Anbiya's and Rasul's were endowed with special knowledge relevant to their time, to their age, to their society, according to their specific need to pass such knowledge to their people. Remember, each generation, we have the old age, the ancient age, and then we have each era which has its own specific name, like the Iron Age and so on. And that is how man developed, human science and technology developed. A long period of time, millions of years have passed. So each Nabi and Rasul that came before, according to the age in which they lived, according to that they received wahi, divine revelation, and guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to their specific needs, to pass such knowledge to their people of that particular era. The most important was the belief in the supreme oneness, tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every religion has not changed as far as that is concerned. La ilaha illallah. O Anbiya's and Rasul, say unto mankind they must worship only one Rabb, only one Allah, only one maker, one creator, one sustainer. That only one Allah be worshipped. That no other, no idols, no other deities besides one Allah be worshipped. That their holy book be obeyed. That they be obedience to their respective prophet. That the purest morality be observed. And there be sanctity for their modes of prayer and the seeking of mercy and forgiveness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, however, was bestowed with the knowledge of the awwaleen and the akhirin, with the knowledge of the past and the future. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Utitu ilmul awwaleen wal akhirin." I have been endowed with the knowledge of the entire past and the future. Look how I am speaking to you, and the ulama speak to you all the time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look how we are speaking. All what I am speaking to you is about akhirah. What is going to happen there? How real it sounds, how true it is. We are the only ummah that has received this. Nobody has this, the absolute truth about what is going to transpire on the day. But the ummah of Sayyidina wa Nabiyina, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has been, so he says, أُوْتِيْتُ إِلْمُ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخَرِينَ, I have been endowed with the knowledge of the entire past and the future. This means that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been informed through divine revelation, wahi, in this Quran, and through inspiration, which is the ahadith, about the history of past civilizations, of how they rose and how they fell. Alright? And how those who were rebellious were destroyed. As well as being thoroughly informed about the Akhirah and the hereafter. I just mentioned now how in the Quran Majid, 2/3 of the Quran Majid speaks about the hereafter and the reason why. This is true because none of the other religions have the true account of exactly what is going to happen in the hereafter besides the deen of Islam. This is by the special blessing of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we, the Muslims, have a lot to be thankful to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for. It is a tragedy, therefore, when Muslims show ignorance and neglect towards the specialized knowledge which they have received from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which encompasses every phase and facet of human knowledge and existence, making Islam a complete and perfect code and way of life. Amazing how much knowledge we have of the past and the present and the future. That is due to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam having left us with this enormous inheritance. If we as Muslimin can only recognize this. Respected brothers and sisters, there's a lot more to do, much more that we haven't done, and inshallah we will continue with this. I need another one more talk perhaps in which to complete all the facets of the beautiful life of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is amazing how many things I myself have learnt during this research into these. I may mention here for the sake of the listeners that in 1967-68 that I sat at the feet of the principal of Darul Deoband, Qari Tayyab Sahib, who was known as Hakim al-Ummat, and acquired all this. That is when these notes were written down. He gave a series of talks to us about the position, the eminence, and the status of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallam. All these points are what he had mentioned to me in early 1970. It is now 2008. You can imagine how many years it goes. The notes I have kept, I've got them with me, I've preserved them, and this is why I can share it with you today. That this is it. All these ahadith kitabs, he was a master of them. Qari Tayyab Sahib was in South Africa, he delivered talks here, but he spoke to us in his original language, which was Urdu, and we were able to appreciate that in the context in which, because it is a language of great love and understanding, and that is how we could understand it, and I can pass that on to you. There are many more aspects of the life. He mentioned to us almost 100 different points. I have dealt with 1/3 of them so far. So you can understand how much more of the noble status and dignity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam he must have mentioned to us. There's a lot more coming. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it. Inshallah, next Sunday I will at the same time continue with this talk and then deliver these lessons there. We are doing on Sunday mornings Tasawuf and Tariqat, the summary of that, but we will complete this first, maybe one more talk or two, whatever there is, and inshallah on the conclusion. These recordings on CDs are available. We sell our CDs at a very, very nominal price. There's hardly much that we make on it. 15 rands a CD we sell. The little bit of money we make, we use to buy maintenance of our equipment and also to buy new recordings. So there's not much profit involved. Number two, I hold no copyright on this. I do not believe in copyright at all whatsoever as far as deen is concerned. I cannot understand how in some books which is published, Islamic books, they can say that they hold copyright rights. No Muslim should ever do that. We have no hold over copyright. The Quran and the Sunnah and the Sharia belongs to all of mankind. So we should never have copyright rights. No Muslim book, Islamic book, should have copyright rights. My recordings, you can copy them, you can give them out, you can distribute them. But if you support us, remember I've told you, for the maintenance of our equipment and also to buy new equipment when it is required, we need the cash for that. But it is not much. 15 rands is a very low price. You know what's recorded, pre-recorded CDs are selling for. So please support us as far as that is concerned. Buy these recordings. There's a lot more that we are going to do. Enormous amount of things that are unknown, which we're still going to touch on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this effort on my behalf and give me shifaat, inshallah, that I recover completely. If that is not possible, then Allah keep me going and Allah take as much work as possible for the deen from me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us, and do not forget our deceased. I always make dua, not only for us and our success and our salvation, but also for those who have passed away, of our parents and our grandparents, all those who came into the fold of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put nur in their qubur. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the intercession of Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all of us also. And may Allah make our future life easy for us and our children, and grant us that we stay and live as families in Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah. Amin. Jazakumullah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.